Welcome to Do This, Not That, the podcast for marketers. You'll walk away from each episode with actionable tips you can test immediately. You'll hear from the best minds in marketing who will share tactics, quick wins, and pitfalls to avoid. We'll also dig into life, pop culture, and the chaos that is our everyday. I'm Jay Schwedelson. Let's do this, not that. Before we jump into today's episode, I am super excited to share that today's guest, Scott Jeffrey Miller, has joined the Guru Podcast Network with his brand new podcast, Career on Course. Scott is a seven-time Wall Street Journal best-selling author, and this podcast is the most incredible resource for anyone looking to explore a new career or level up the career that they are in. You have to check it out, Career on Course, on all the platforms and also at GuruPodcastNetwork.com. Okay, here's today's episode. Welcome back to Do This, Not That. And sometimes I'm saying I'm excited at doing these podcasts, but no, then that's not always true. This time I am. Because you know what? In your career, if you're lucky, you get a handful of people that you work with that actually become your friends. And today, one of my actual real life work people that became my friends is here today. And that is Scott Jeffrey Miller. Now, if you don't know Scott, you'll never need to drink coffee again after hearing him talk, as he is like more energy than I could ever have. He is the seven-time best-selling author of some of the most amazing management and marketing books, and he has his latest book out called Career on Course. And today, we are going to go through some really quick win strategies about how to take your career from accidental to intentional, and that is awesome. So, Scott, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Jay, I'm on fire. So, thank you so much for the spotlight, the platform. Let's transfer some genius into all of your listeners and viewers. My genius.
So before we get into all things that is your genius and you're going to share some of that wisdom, how did Scott become Scott? Who are you?
Oh, I became Scott for two things. One, a lot of people believed in me, right? People believed in me more than I believed in myself. They forgave me. They pre-forgave me. They took me to the woodshed and had high courage conversations. They shepherded me into responsible professional. And two, I worked my you know what off. Forget ChatGPT right now. Good work ethic is something that is super valuable and super relevant in everyone's career. Yes, work smarter, but don't work smarter than harder. You and I are two of the hardest working people I know, and we're sufficiently smart. But like you, I host a couple of podcasts. I've interviewed 500 people top of their game. None of them are the world's expert or the smartest person on their topic. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. What they all do have in common is they outworked everybody else in their industry. Best-selling author, business titan, celebrity, actor, podcaster. They worked really hard, and that has been the core theme to my 35-year career as a chief marketing officer, as an agency founder, as an author, podcaster, radio host, keynote speaker. I just try to work as hard as I can.
Well, I subscribe to that. You know, when you think you've done it all, just keep pushing even further. And let's get into some of these actionable things where people can get their career on course. So I've heard you talk about knowing your professional value. What does that mean?
So this is a little counterintuitive, right? So the book is called Career on Course, 10 Strategies to Take Your Career from Accidental to Intentional. I've just, after 30 years, including a decade as the CMO of a global public company, I saw so many people's careers implode or stagnate or become what I call a career cul-de-sac because they weren't more intentional. Strategy number one is called know your professional values. Now, most of us have heard the phrase, you know, you have to define your values. Like most organizations have their values written on a wall somewhere. As a person, you need to articulate what are your personal values. This is not news. I know my seven personal values. That I illustrate them in an acronym, PHILPAL, PHILPAL, purpose, health, integrity, loyalty, positivity, abundance, and learning. These are my seven personal values, and I make all my decisions around them. Follow me on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram or LinkedIn, and you'll see my role as a parent, as an entrepreneur, as a husband, as a friend, they align with my personal values. Most people have not, Jay, taken the time to articulate, write down, and hierarchically organize their personal values. No one takes it beyond that and articulates their professional values. Against the vitriol of some people on Reddit, I think you need two sets of values that integrate. For example, Jay, my number one professional value is to maximize my income. I'm the sole provider for four people in my family, and I take that role very seriously. My number two professional value, meaning the things that I value in my career, my employer, number two is to work with and for a brand that I'm proud of, that I respect, that if I come to a cocktail party and say, where do you work? I say, Franklin Covey. You say, I love Franklin Covey, not I hate Franklin Covey. And number three is to work with and for people that I like and love and that like and love me. Those were my three guiding professional values, and I made all my decisions around them. By the way, number one was maximize income. Could I have owned a hedge fund? Not smart enough, but you put the point is I probably could have made more money somewhere else, but I also wanted to work with a brand that I respected and with people that I liked and loved. My advice to everyone is make two sets of values. By the way, your professional values might be you want equity, you want a title, you want to do a stint in Asia. You are a voracious learner. You want to lead a team. You want to retire. You want work-life balance. Write down and commit to your priorities, your list of professional and personal values, because they will at some point come in conflict with each other. And that isn't always bad. You won't know why you're having a struggle in this or that part of your life if you haven't written them down and said, oh, my number one professional value is maximize my income. But my number one personal value is family and being near my in-laws or my grandparents. Well, if you're in sales or marketing, you may be required to move around the nation or, you know, change jobs. And you may be unwilling to do that if you're here for the duration of your parents' or grandparents' caregiving or life. It's important to write them down to know when they are in conflict and when should one trump the other.
Well, you know, it's funny. I never thought of it. I never had it articulated to me, but I feel like I try to do that without even knowing it. Like, I've always wanted to make sure I can be a part of what's going on in my family, right? And I know that I've left stuff on the table. I've left money on the table, left opportunity on the table, because I want to get out of work at a certain time. I don't want to go on every travel, every conference, every everything. I'm leaving some money on the table because, to your point, that's part of my value. Like, that's what I am focused on. So I think that's really important for people to really take a moment and reflect on themselves and see what is your value. And along those same lines, you say things like study yourself.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Should I get a mirror out and look to see if I have any stuff to wash off my face? How do you study yourself?
Yes, to a larger extent. This strategy is all about self-awareness. I have had a 35-year career, of which 30 years was formerly leading people. I've interviewed thousands of job candidates, I've hired hundreds, and I've had the responsibility of terminating about 18 people in my career. Jay, I've never had to fire anybody because they lacked the technical skill. They had the degree, they had the certification, they had the credential. Every single person I've ever had to terminate for non-market budget reasons was because they lacked self-awareness. They had no idea what it was like to work with them, collaborate with them, go to a trade show with them, be in a Zoom call with them. They just lacked self-awareness. So this one is about studying yourself. I think what too often we do is, and it's well-placed, well-intended, is we start studying other people. Seth Godin, Dan Pink, Arianna Huffington, Brené Brown. We study our favorite podcast host, our favorite entrepreneurs. We subscribe to and we learn their past and their journey. And by all means, I think we should do that. I am a voracious studier of other people. However, what I think most people lack is the same discipline, the same curiosity to study yourself. Take me, for example. I am a very loud, charismatic, sometimes even annoyingly energetic person. It's my brand. It generally
even a little bit.
That same energy and perceived charisma. Look at my voice. Look at my hand gestures. I'm in your face. This is how I am 15 hours a day. It repels some people. Believe it or not, sometimes I need to lower my voice, lengthen my cadence, calm down a bit. Half your audience is liking me for the first time on this podcast right now. The point is, we should spend time introspectively. Why do I respond that way? Why am I the first person to always answer a question? Why am I always a solution looking for a problem? Why? Why do I act this way? Why do I do that way? Usually because your parents, quite frankly, inculcated this in you, or your caregivers. Forgive them. But this is a powerful exercise to get feedback, to go to trusted people to say, hey, what are three things I do that delights you? What are three things that I do that annoy you? What do you think my superpower is? What do you think is the biggest trait that is my superpower, but I overplay it so it becomes a liability for me? All of us have blind spots. And if you want to study yourself, you can't do that alone in, you know, in a retreat. You've got to ask trusted people in your life, what do I do that annoys you? What do I do that delights you? And then calibrate, where should you make changes? This is vital to growing your career.
And don't be defensive. You know, when people give you that advice and they say, you know, you are a little annoying or whatever, you got to receive that and say, thank you. Thank you for telling me, right?
Let's talk about that. Most people are cowards. This is not a character flaw. This is a personality trait. Most people will not tell you the truth. Why? Because they don't want to be the bad guy. They don't think you can handle it. They don't have the skills to articulate in a way that won't offend you. They either have an excess of courage or a deficiency of diplomacy. These are skills most people haven't developed. So when I go to Jay and say, Jay, what are three things that I do that you think are my biggest Achilles heel? I have to make it safe for Jay to tell me his truth. And when Jay does tell me, to your point, Jay, I can't deny it, deflect it, dispute it, or say, you know, but Jim always does that and I react to that. No, I have to say, Jay, can I tell you? Thank you so much. That was such a gift. By the way, that kind of hurt, of course, because I have a conscience, but I appreciate that. Jay, can I ask you a question? When I'm doing that, what's going on? I know you're not a psychiatrist, Jay, but do I seem insecure? Do I seem in over my head? Do I seem jealous? Why do you think I'm doing that? The more you can get specific, Jay, the more that I can modify this. And by the way, don't ask for Jay's opinion if you aren't serious about making changes in your life, because the quickest way to get Jay to never tell you any input again is to ask for it and then not implement it or deny it. But the biggest way to make Jay become your champion is to have Jay catch you changing your behaviors. And when Jay is in a situation where someone is questioning your competence or your character, Jay's going to say, can I tell you, I've had a different experience with Scott. Scott actually asked me a few months ago about this, and I gave him some feedback. And since then, I've seen remarkable changes in his behavior. I think you want to like give him a second chance. Now, Jay becomes my biggest champion and benefactor.
I love that. Turn it around. It's a whole flip the script on everybody. So let's see. Can we sneak in one more before we get to some chaos? I want to sneak in one more thing, which is a long-term plan for your career. I think that almost everybody is focused on the now. I'm the marketing director of this. I am working at this company. I own this small business. I'm focused on today, this month, maybe the next 6 months. But how do you actually make a long-term plan for yourself in your career? Is that possible, or is that just a pipe dream?
Well, it's certainly possible, but it is counterintuitive, because most things in our life are requiring us to think short term, right? We all have a bit of an urgency addiction. Everybody has an attention span limitation now, whether it's a medical diagnosis, which is real for some neurodiverse people, but also just there aren't less Netflix channels coming. There aren't less SKUs at Whole Foods, right? There are more choices that are barraging us every day. We have to think long term in a short term world. My advocacy is to stop thinking about what's next. I think all of us fell into a little bit of the impulsivity pre-pandemic, where people jumped for $8,000 more, or they were running from some leader and running towards something that seemed smart. I think the pendulum, like all things in life, swung far one way and is swinging back another way. Here's my invitation. Don't just be thinking about what is the next job. Is it marketing manager? Is it product line director? Is it VP of marketing? Is it CMO? I want everyone here to take a breath. And I want you to think about your career in terms of decades, not in terms of months or quarters or years. For those of you who are in your 20s or 30s, you're going to work, 30, 40 more years. Most of us will have a 50-year career. When you think about 22 out of college and retirement in your late 60s or 70s, if that's an option for many of you, think about your career in terms of decades. I would challenge you to think about, what does the end look like? What's the ultimate? Is it CMO? Is it CEO? Is it owner of the agency? Is it the vice president of a product line or the Western region? And then instead of forecasting your way up there, you start there and you backcast. If you want to become the CMO, you probably will need to be like the EVP or the SVP or the VP or the AVP or the director. You probably need supply chain experience and sales experience. You need, you know, strong technical knowledge. You need to start with the very end in mind. Now, listen, there is serendipity in everybody's career, right? You have to accommodate for serendipity interruptions. But the people who have the most intentional careers are ones that plan their career out decades in advance. And like an airline pilot, you're always going to be a little bit off course. But if I knew I wanted to be a CMO at the age of 50, the only way to get there is to know I had to be a VP of business development. I had to have sales background. I had to know web and email and how to lead people, how to have courageous conversations, to understand how to build brand, how to convert brand into revenue, how to convert revenue into EBITDA. Think long-term with your career and then backcast as opposed to forecast.
When I hit the 20-year mark in my career, which was years ago now, I was talking to somebody and they said, wow, you know, I don't know what my career is going to be or how much longer or whatever. And this guy put his arm around me. He goes, you're not even halfway through your career. And I was at year 20 and it like blew my mind. I was like, holy crap, I'm not even halfway there and I'm 20 years in. Like, it's a long road. And to your point, you got to think about where you want to be and then work backwards. I love that advice. So let's get into some chaos. This is the segment of this thing called Since You Didn't Ask. Okay, and this is where we talk about nothing to do with all this career stuff. But I have a question for you. I'm not blowing smoke. You literally need to follow Scott Jeffrey Miller on all social media platforms. I'm not exaggerating. He's my number one favorite to follow. I'm going to tell you why. The dude shares way too much stuff that's going on in his life. I mean, I know that he has a champagne flute collection. I know he sneaks his dog in to get coffee in the morning. I know which of his three sons are winning, what tennis tournament they're playing in.
Or losing.
I know when they buy new shoes. I know everything. Okay. But here's my question about that. Because you share it all. For a lot of us, when we go to share on social media, especially professionally, this is for me. I share something. I'm like, I really hope this gets engagement because, like, you know, I don't want to share something and be a dud, then I'll feel like a dork or whatever. Now, some of your posts get crazy engagement because you have big followings, but some of your posts don't. And I'm curious, do you care like about the engagement? Do you ever say, I can't post this, it's too much? Or like, what is your mindset? Because I don't know anybody like you that just shares the way that you do.
You know, I think it depends on what your end in mind is. My end in mind is to help as many people as possible in whatever role they're in that they can identify with me. If it is the father of two young sons that are kicking my ass, if it's coming up on my 15-year wedding anniversary and hope she sticks around for a couple more months because it's been tough raising three young boys, right? Financial ups and downs. It's your career. It's your friendships. I share a lot of things. I overshare. But I tell you, I don't look at the likes. I don't look at the comments because I know that 95% of people don't make a comment and don't share a like. I'll have a fairly public profile in the US as a 7-time author. And like you, I host a fairly popular leadership podcast. I can't go out to lunch in Utah without someone seeing me at the grocery store or at a bar mitzvah or at a dinner. And they say, oh my gosh, I love that you did this or that. I'm thinking, yeah, that post got 3 likes, but I know tens of thousands of people saw it and it built an impression. Maybe they liked me, maybe they didn't like me. So I just don't look at the likes and the comments because it is such an infinitesimal representation of the number of people who saw it or saw something beforehand. So I try to share things that I think will help other people. Some of them are positive. Some of them are confessions, right? Breakout session at a conference. Nobody showed up. Here's the deodorant my three sons are using to apply to their testicles because they're sweating too much, right? Here's the picture of my colonoscopy, which, by the way, got vitriol. People thought it was sexual. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure last time my colon was sexual. My point is, I try not to be inappropriate. I just try to show this is real life, right? I have a nice car and I have a lovely wife and a family that this morning was just a shit show trying to get three sons out of bed, brush their teeth, calories in them. Do they have their homework? Have they combed their hair? Is their uniform tucked in? Get in the car. It was that my wife stuck around was by the grace of God this morning because three young boys that have my energy and personality is wearing her thin. I try to be, I hate this word, I try to be as authentic as possible.
Well, I will tell you that it is inspiring to me. It really does. It pushes me to want to share more. And also, I think you truly have a personal brand. And I think that a lot of people try to get that these days, but you have one, which is this real human being behind all these books you write and all this stuff. So I like watching your journey because it teaches me about how to do my journey. So you are amazing for being here. Where should everybody find you, follow you, connect with you, buy your book? What do they do? How do they get involved with you?
Just this podcast. There's no reason to be on any other podcast than do this, not that with Jay. Now you, yes, you can find me. I'm not hard. All my books are on every bookstore in the world and every digital platform. You can visit me at scottjeffreymiller.com. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn about five times a day to my wife's horror. My children have named it Sharenting. I never heard this term. I call it parenting. They call it Sharenting. And so we post a lot. We have some fun. There's a guard with a gun out front in case you try to stalk me. You know, she'll take you down.
I got you. Well, you are amazing. Thank you for being here. Thanks for being Do This Not That. Everyone go follow Scott Jeffrey Miller. He rocks. See you later.
You did it. You made it to the end. Nice. But the party's not over. Subscribe to make sure you get the latest episode each week for more actionable tips and a little chaos from today's top marketers. And hook us up with a 5-star review if this wasn't the worst podcast of all time. Lastly, if you want access to the best virtual marketing events that are also 100% free, visit guruevents.com so you can hear from the world's top marketers like Damon John, Martha Stewart, and me. Guruevents.com. Check it out.